The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined on the line by clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast, Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Today you want to talk about something that afflicts us all every day, and that is stress.
Yes. My thought really was, we talk a lot about stress, don't we? You know, in the media, and I think lots of articles I see. But I think sometimes we don't think about how it impacts our partners or how our partner's stress impacts us. And I think it's how to protect your relationship at those sort of peak times in life, because stress is very inevitable. You know, we're not going to be able to avoid it. You cannot be in that rosy glow all of the time. So there's a lot about how we withstand our stress, staying resilient, all of that. But also then, when stress comes our way, how do we manage it as a couple? How do I support my partner, and how does that partner support me? That's an important question, and people need today. I think that's what I was offering, to look into that a little bit.
Now, stress comes in many different forms. Various things can stress us.
Yeah. So many things can stress us. And I think some of it, as I say, is inevitable, because life, we go through life in, you know, phases, you know, young children, teenage children, marriage, you know, buying houses, establishing careers. So there's all sorts of stress points in our own life. Then in the lives of our children, we see people now preparing, you know, for the leaving cert. I see so much stress with parents. And all of these different times, maybe then you have parents who are ill or, you know, in difficulty. So things happen. It could be work stress, could be, you know, feeling overworked, burnt out, underappreciated, could be health issues. That's another big one. And of course, if there's any change in the health status in your household, that's another huge thing for people. So there's many stresses. I think people can recognize them. And the other, maybe an important point to say, is stress is accumulative. People often think, oh, I can manage that, you know, and people do actually normally manage things. It's really the accumulation of it. It's not the first stressor that gets you into a bit of a muddle. It's often the third stressor. So something has happened maybe 6 months ago, depleted your resources a little bit because you've adapted, da, da, da. But then you find yourself, here I am again with something else that I must deal with.
So it's one damn thing after another.
Correct. And that can tip you into some symptoms that are difficult to manage, like maybe lack of sleep, feeling emotional, feeling tense, feeling anxious, various sort of indicators of stress.
Now, there are different ways of coping. Some of them are negative and won't pay off in the long term, and some are more positive.
For sure. So there's a number of negative, you know, coping styles that I think a lot of us are very familiar with. And we often see people leaning on alcohol, you know, or on other substances. That's a particular way to kind of numb to force the body into a relaxed mode. That gives a kind of a short term relief, but it doesn't give the long term kind of adapting that we need to the stress that's there. The other is people, you know, we've heard of the, you know, we call it cognitive avoidance, but really it is the putting your head in the sand, not really facing the issue that is in front of you, or the inevitable issue that needs to be dealt with. And the other is then sort of avoiding the feeling that is attached to the stress. So suppressing all of your emotion, and then of course it has to come out somewhere. So these are negative coping styles, and the way we deal with stress is fairly well embedded in us. So it's really quite important that we look at ourselves and see how the way we are coping is affecting the us, if you like, of the couple that you are. That's important.
Now, talk to me about positive coping strategies.
Okay, what you can do. So some things that are good to do, I would say, in a personal sense, is first of all, focus on the problem. Try and give your energy to looking at other solutions and other ways that you can deal with this situation that is in front of you in a pragmatic way. You may need to talk to somebody to do that. That could be a good friend. It may not be your partner, may not be the right person for that talk, for clarity. It may be the right person, but sometimes you need a friend or somebody outside who can look at it a little more clearly. But ask for help. Look for somebody to help you think it through. That may be your partner. Take responsibility for the situation that you know, that's in front of you. Try and keep your emotion in check. And if you can't, you know, find a healthy way to express it and somebody you can express it to. Because if you hold it all in, it's going to pop out and burst out in some other emotional kind of way. And that can often be in rows and in difficulties in your relationship. You can be the person who's withdrawing from your partner. And your partner doesn't understand that you're under stress. So if you don't share it, people can't support you. I often find myself saying that men, if I may point the finger there, mm-hmm. have the tendency to feel that they must stay in control and they must not sort of burden their partner. And that's not a good thing, because in many ways you can't help each other if you don't share the difficulty. You can then decide how much help you can give each other, but not if it's not shared in the first place.
So if there is a relationship under strain because of the stress and you're trying to talk it out with each other, you know, is it possible you come to the point where there is no resolution? You know,
well,
some
yes.
things you can't resolve. For example, if you've got money problems, maybe they're not soluble.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think, you know, if you're talking money there, most things I think are improvable, to use a very bad English. But you can always make things better. I think you can't always solve the problem. I mean, an example would be a partner has had a very serious grief situation where somebody very dear to them has died in maybe all sorts of tragic circumstances. We can't change that outcome. So you mentioned finance, I think, in this way. You can't change the outcome, but you can help the person to carry the difficulty. In the same way with finances, maybe there is a stress that needs to be dealt with, and maybe between both of you, you don't have the resources or the insight to find the solutions that are, you know, going to help with this problem, so you bring in an outsider. So bringing in the energy of an outsider is often a very useful thing if things feel too much. And I think, so if you're having that conversation, as I suppose I'm slightly repeating, but it is the communicate and ask each other for help and ask for specifics. That's really quite useful. Partners are often trying to help, but they don't know what's really needed. And if you can say it's quite helpful.
Mm-hmm. Also, when there are ongoing stresses, where it's always the same issue that you talk about night and day, every day. Can you kind of call a halt to that?
Yes.
And say, we'll take a break from talking about this, whether it's, you know, the mortgage that's unsustainable, the house you're building where it's going really badly wrong.
The point I would say is very simply, you have to have time where you actively sit down and deal with the issue. But you also have to have time when you actively don't deal with that issue. So you set time out for us. You set time out when we're not going to talk about the problem. We're going to talk about other things. We're going to distract ourselves, give ourselves a break. That's really important. The other thing I think that can be very helpful for people is to have a kind of a little check in with each other kind of formula where, you know, I know people talk about this on a scale of 1 to 10. Where are you today in terms of your stress or how you're managing? And if you can do that and communicate it, it allows the other person to understand that today is a good day for you, or today you are low in the context of that stress or that grief or that burnout or whatever it is that you are trying to deal with. And that allows that person to say, well, you know what, I'm pretty low myself today, so we're probably going to have to be really, you know, easy with each other. And that, if you can have that tiny exchange, it's a great help, I think, in knowing where you are. And if you have a real stress that you've now, you know, acknowledged between both of you, then I think you have some chance, much better chance of dealing with it. That's quite helpful. And if I may say something, just one or two other provisos, Pat, and one is that, you know, love and intimacy can be, you know, can be put on hold for a while, but it can't be put on hold forever. So if a stress is continuing over a long time, it really does need to be addressed in a fulsome way. Otherwise, it will really deplete the love and it will deplete the kind of the fun, because relationships have to have some elements of joy and fun and, I suppose, relax for each other. And if that's missing, you really can move into a very difficult phase in your relationship.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast.
Well, now, the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.